time for our weekly chat with our staff medical advisor from South Strand Internist. Every week, we talk with Dr. Vandegrift, or today, Dr. Brian Adler, about various health concerns. Today, we're going to be talking about healthy food. Not health food, but healthy food. Good morning, Dr. Adler.
Good morning, Jim.
I'm glad you wanted to talk about this because as I do my show here day after day, I'm constantly reading new facts and figures and studies and surveys, and all of a sudden one day they're telling you one food's good for you, then the next day they say, turns out that's not right. So it gets a little confusing, and we're not talking about health food, but healthy food, which is what we've certainly learned over the years, so important to our health. Can you clear up some of these, confusing things about what is indeed healthy food and how it contributes to our healthy lives?
Yes, Jim. So food can be broken down in maybe four simple categories that I think is easy to understand. Foods that we eat are either sugars, protein, or fat. And the fourth group are foods that contain things like minerals and vitamins, which are important for sustaining our health. And how much of these things we eat and what proportion and what our underlying health condition is can play a big role in how we feel, not just in improving and maintaining health, but actually in reversing several disease states and conditions. Now, I've been practicing medicine for over 30 years, and I've observed many, many people, and I have seen a lot of trends with people who do have certain types of food consumption patterns, and many things I see that are consistent. People who maintain their body weight and they're not eating excess amounts of foods often tend to be healthier, more fit, and have a better quality of life. People who eat more natural whole foods, who have a balanced diet generally, are healthier. And again, certain groups of people that have conditions that we know contribute from what we eat, and this includes the obvious ones, diabetes, heart problems, high cholesterol, these sorts of things, is one group of people. But I also have noticed that people who have certain diseases, which include different arthritic disorders, prostate disorders, breast disorders, cancers, many of these things either can be brought on or often improved in terms of reducing the problems by changing the foods that we eat.
Well, we've heard a great deal over the past couple of decades about the sugars and the fact that we're overweight, and those teaming up to give us so many different health problems. One thing that you brought up was proteins, and that's one you don't hear very much about. Now, we're hearing more and more about, stay away from red meat. We've heard that for the past 10 years or so. I just saw a report again last week said that pork fat was healthier than beef fat, which is, it just goes to show you all these studies keep coming out. I'm pretty sure you're not going to have any concerns about folks who are going to be pescatarian or just, love seafood and eat a lot of seafood. We hear so much about getting salmon in your diet every week and all this kind of stuff. Can you tell us what is the truth about these proteins? Is chicken really the best way to go versus beef, or is that something that's overblown by, the chicken industry?
So again, I think it's something that particularly, doctors and the health industry really should try to better educate. I think protein is very important, particularly in the older population, people who are often in their 80s or late 70s, many times begin to lose weight, they begin to lose muscle, they become unsteady or weaker, and many folks, particularly those who live alone and are not shopping or really spending a lot of time preparing foods, tend to eat lower protein foods. So as people get older and have other underlying medical problems, generally protein is very important, and people just don't get enough of it. Particularly older people tend to lose their appetite many times for meat products, so they tend to eat less of it. Now, what type, you know, again, is interesting. One of the factors that has been blown way out of proportion is meat, red meat in particular. Again, I think the issue with meat really has to do with quantity, and for certain groups of people who are high risk for heart, you know, being on more lean meat products is certainly better. Avoiding meats altogether does not make a lot of good sense, since it's a good protein source. So again, any kind of meat that is obviously lower in obvious fat content, you know, when you look at the meat, if it's got a lot of obvious fat on it, you, in many cases, want to try to get lean meat. Certainly, chicken is great. Fish is another source of protein. All of them are good sources of protein, depending on what you like to eat and what your body really needs. Now, the other factor that needs to be taken into consideration now is the fact that most meats, many meats that we buy, seem to have a lot of hormones in the meat, which can affect many different people in different ways, with weight gain and contributing to underlying problems. So, you know, for people who are willing to spend more money to get hormone-free meats, which is often difficult to get, can eliminate some of the other byproducts that are in meat. But overall, protein is a very important food source for all of us. And again, when balanced, and again, I don't want to make this conversation generally applicable to everyone, right, but sitting down with someone who understands nutrition, understand what your body needs, and help you proportion the foods that you're eating so you're getting the right foods in the right mix and the right balance given your particular age, your general health, how your body is built. So not everybody is meant to eat the same thing. Some people do require diets that are higher in fat. Some require foods that are higher in starches and sugars, particularly people who are working very physical jobs, or they are exercise enthusiasts and they burn a lot of energy. These folks need a lot of energy in the way of carbs and sugars, so some of these folks actually need more, but others don't. So again, understanding the individual and their individual needs would help to structure the right types of foods to help promote good health.
I understand. Now, getting to minerals and vitamins, I can't exactly remember if it was you, but I do remember talking in one of these shows, I think it was on B12 or something, the doctor saying if we eat a healthy diet, a proper diet, you really don't need vitamin supplements. Was that you? Is that true?
It is true in general. Now, there are exceptions to that. People that have absorption problems, stomach or bowel issues, you know, who can't absorb certain kinds of vitamins and minerals. But in general, if we eat a good, healthy, balanced diet, then we get all the nutritional needs met in foods. And again, there's other elements in foods we don't quite understand that I'm not sure you can get in a pill and a supplement. So again, natural foods, the way our body breaks them down and the way we absorb them, takes in a variety of different things that you can't really get in a pill necessarily, because the processing of these things, when they finally get it down to a powder and put it into a pill, often will deactivate or destroy a lot of things that are present in natural foods. So that is definitely the best way to get these things into your system.
Does South Strand in Turnus offer any nutritional counseling?
We do not, but we do have a referral source of many types. Often I'll sit with a patient and find out what their nutritional needs really are and help direct them to the appropriate place that will help them sort of sort out, you know, what would be the best kinds of foods and nutritional support systems that would work best for them. And there's a lot of resources available out there. Most of the hospitals have dietitians, and they're more adapted to working with people who have diabetes and cholesterol and maybe overweight issues. But the nuances of diet and really looking at diets that are specific for helping certain conditions and disorders often require sitting down with nutritionists who have really specialized experience in that. There are a few out in the community who do that kind of work that can really sit down with people and kind of go through what their daily diet consumption is and help them make some adjustments. There's a lot of good evidence out there that many things respond to dietary changes. One example, for instance, is prostate disease. People that have enlarged prostates, or even people who have prostate cancer, often can see their disease go away or the prostate gets smaller by eliminating milk products, which again is another big source of hormones, which are in most of the milk products, even some of the meat products. But again, we've seen people who've cut milk and dairy out of their diets and their PSA and prostate gets smaller. Often the prostate cancer goes away. I'm not saying that happens for everyone, but again, that's one example of how dietary changes can affect disease. Another good example is arthritic disorders. Many foods that we eat, particularly the refined foods, the sugars, and all these things that we get in packaged foods, flour, you know, white flour-based foods, sugar-based foods, tend to have what we call a pro-inflammatory effect on the body. They can trigger arthritic conditions. And we've seen people who have eliminated these kinds of refined foods and switched to more whole grains, more whole foods. They've gotten away from packaged goods. They eat more fruits and vegetables that are high in these antioxidants. And many of these diets that we consider anti-inflammatory actually can help slow down or often in many cases reverse arthritic conditions. So I see that a lot with people over the many years and many patients that I've seen. Diet plays a big role. I think many people don't really believe it. But again, it plays a very big role in maintaining good health and vitality, and also making a big difference in reducing disease and unhealthy conditions if people really are willing to make those changes.
Very interesting that you pointed out at the start of the program that our eating habits often change as we grow older. Folks, never be afraid to talk to your healthcare provider about what you're eating, what changes you may have had in your recent diet. And if you don't have a healthcare provider, remember you can always visit South Strand Internist and Urgent Care on Glens Bay Road in Surfside Beach. You can call them 843-650-4006. Dr. Adler, very, very interesting. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll